You are listening to Faithless Bruin, a Magic the Gathering podcast for the rogue deck builder. Each week, we design new decks in Modern and Pioneer, put our creations to the test, and share our findings on the air. Today, we wrap up our Kaldheim preview season, the cards we're most excited to brew with, plus our fearless predictions and called shots. After that, it's a brewing doubleheader starring Valky, God of Lies, and Allrune, God of the Cosmos. All of that and more is coming up this week on the Faithless Brewing Podcast. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Faithless Brewing Podcast. I am David Robertson, joined by my co-host on the left coast. He is Damon Alexander. Damon, what's going on?
What's up? It's ski season and pretty wintry here, but we haven't gotten too much fresh powder lately, so let's pray to snow. Which god in Kaldheim is that?
All of them. Jorn, maybe? it's a winter blahs here, but... We're only 5 months away from seeing the sun in Minnesota, so should be right around the corner. But a man who chases away the blahs for most of us, he is the CEO of the Faithless Brewing Podcast. He is Caved In Online, Dan Schriever. Dan, what is popping?
Hey, David, how you doing? I always feel bad following up your weather segments because it's always like gorgeous down here in North Carolina. It's like, yeah, I went out today. It was great. It's going to be like 70 tomorrow or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty jealous. It's going to be like 15 and I haven't seen the sun in a couple days and my whole lab is just season effectiveness disorder and just super depressed and mopey. So you don't have to live in Minnesota. Just a reminder to everybody out there, if you choose to fall in love with a young lady or a young fellow, you should just pick someone who wants to live in Seattle or Malibu or whatever. All right, so we don't want to spend too much time talking about that. We've got a lot to get through. We want to, off the top, give a quick shout-out to our newest patron, Emiliano S. Thank you very much, Emiliano. Just a quick reminder, if you enjoy the show and you want to support us, you can do so by going to patreon.com/faithlessbrewing. Join the Patreon. Join the conversation. There's tons of stuff going off in the Discord, tons of brews. And we even have some new articles up at faithlessbrewing.com, our website. Dan, tell us about those.
Yeah, we got two new ones up, both from Zach Mana Symbol of Ryle. Been on our show a couple times. He co-hosts the Seer Visions podcast, and he's been dipping his toes into Legacy lately. So he's written up fantastic introduction to Legacy, geared at players who are more familiar with Modern. Just runs through all the main archetypes. A second article from Zach is all about the current state of the Urza decks in Modern. Kind of astonishing to think about the arc that Urza has taken. It's spectacular rise and fall, just seeing the bannings of Opal and Oko, and then kind of the quiet period, and something of an Urza resurgence in the last month or so. Great content here. I'm going to have a link in the episode description. You can just click right through to that if you're interested. Definitely check it out.
There is one caveat I should mention, though, that unfortunately his Legacy article has become completely outdated with the... creation of bluestew.net, which takes a random generator and creates a plausible looking four color blue deck that has been all the rage on Twitter. So the one I got just has one Uro, two Leovold, one Snapcaster, four Oko, one Jace. You know, this sounds like a real Legacy deck. Refresh the page. Now I'm on one Plague Engineer, three Uro, two Ice Fang, one Noble Hierarch, two Jace, two Oko. These numbers are carefully decided after many hard-fought leagues of Legacy. Wait, it's just an algorithm.
Now Skynet has become self-aware.
Oh, this list has four Monastery Mentor along with one Gutshot. That's some synergy.
Bluestew.net. Okay.
It's the place to be. So, if you're interested in either Urza or Legacy, not from a computer's algorithm, please check out the website. Now, the latest and the greatest, Kaldheim spoiler. We've gone through a lot of the cards the last few weeks. Released on the same day as this pod, there will be shows dedicated to both Valky and Allrund. But we put to our Discord participants some of their favorite cards for call time. So we got a little hype poll going here, and there were some interesting results, I have to say.
Yeah, and to be clear, the prompt was just which card are you most excited about? So this is not like top five strongest. These are just the cards that people in our Discord are most excited to start brewing with and playing with.
So Damon, why don't you tell us about sort of the five highest scoring cards from the hype poll?
So in fifth place, we have In Search of Greatness. That's the green, the new Sylvan Library that either scries one or lets you cheat a card into play if you have a permanent with CMC that's one less than the card in your hand.
Did you just say new Sylvan Library? What?
Well, it's clearly not as good as Sylvan Library, but it's two CMC enchantment that can kind of, you know, tweak the top of your deck, but with a weird alternate mana cheating clause. So I don't know, maybe it's better than Sylvan Library.
There's only one 2-mana enchantment artifact that you can hyperbolically compare to Sylvan Library.
Yeah.
And it's Dan's
favorite.
Oh, Prophetic
Prism, yeah.
This is like the new Aether Vial. This has nothing to do with Sylvan Library.
Okay. Then in fourth place, we have Magda Brazen Outlaw, our 2 CMC dwarf that when dwarves get tapped makes treasures and uses treasures to find dragons. Then in fourth place, we have Orval the All Form. Nobody actually knows what this card does because it is literally every form. But broadly speaking, it's a 4-mana 3/3 changeling that when you target your own stuff, you get more copies of those things with an anti-Liliana clause. In second place, we have Pyre of Heroes.
New Birthing Pod.
Yeah, the new Birthing Pod. 2-mana for 2-tap sack a creature, search up the chain, but same creature type at sorcery speed. So very similar to Birthing Pod, but kind of tribal-based. Then in first place, this is a tale to make all call time tremble. We have Birgi, God of Storytelling. She is the 3-mana 3/3 who, whenever you cast a spell, adds a red mana and can also let you boast twice a turn. And she comes with her horn on the backside, which lets you discard a card to exile the top 2 of your library that which you can play this turn. So that was the card that our Discord community was most hyped about.
And a clear first place, too. Didn't quite run away with it, but I was like fairly surprised. I did tell people that we were doing Valky first, but I thought more people would be like, oh yeah, we want to get that Valky Tibalt action going. But like, no, they want to hear about Birgi. And apparently they really want to hear about Pyre of Heroes and In Search of Greatness. Two very similar cards, actually, in terms of what they're asking you to do in your deck construction.
And I will say, like, Birgi and In Search of Greatness are the cards that kind of line up with how we understand cards to be broken, which is they cheat on mana. We are used to cards, you know, doubling mana. Obviously, we've had a bunch of effects that do that. These aren't cards that specifically do that, but if you think of Birgi giving you a mana back every time you cast a 1-mana spell, that kind of does double up on mana. And In Search of Greatness, as Damon said, could be generating an infinite amount of mana, depending on what kind of permanents you have in play. So those are cards that, you know, if you can find the right combination, the right builds, are the stuff that could see play in all kinds of non-rotating formats.
Yeah, I mean, Primeval Titan into Avenger of Zendikar into Griselbrand. What's not to like here?
Yeah.
Right. I think that Birgi and Magda are two cards that, to me, feel like closest to being breakable. And Magda as well, you could say, cheats on mana. In Search of Greatness, I'm just not sure. I was kind of hoping that people would not be interested so that we wouldn't have to work on this card because I can't solve it. Like, I just cannot figure this card out.
Well, don't remember, Dan, if you haven't figured it out, you get a scry one.
Oh, good.
You'll figure it out next turn.
Then the card that surprised me is Orvar the All-Form showing up in the top 5. And I don't know what this says. Cards that just missed the top 5 with a high number of votes each included Mystic Reflection as well, just missing the top 5. So Orvar and Mystic Reflection, maybe people are interested in just making a lot of copies of things. Realmwalker also just missed the top 5, so maybe it's Changelings. I'm not quite sure what to make of this. I think this is like super sweet, these cards, but they're probably like the hardest to make work because their front half, we could say their straightforward use doesn't necessarily do what a tournament card should. But they can be part of spectacular combos.
Almost like the same group that brought us Gear Priori.
That card did not let you do sweet combos, though. That's the problem.
These cards all easily clear the bar. Are these better than Gear Priori? It's true.
Yeah, the other big takeaway I had from the poll was just like, this set is extremely dispersed. Tons and tons of cards were just mentioned like a handful of times. it wasn't like, you know, there's only 5 or 10 cars that people are interested in. There's like a maybe 30 or 40 cars that people mentioned. It was like, oh yeah, I'm like, this card seems sweet. And I think this is like a set that has like a long tail, if I can use that expression. Maybe there's going to be like a handful that really make a big impact, but there's a bunch more that I think have a chance to at least prove themselves once or twice in a 5-0. Curious what you two think about this sort of ranking. Are there cards that you're super excited about?
Yeah, I picked out a bunch of different cards from this list. The cards that I'm excited with to try out are Port of Carfel. This is the land that lets you reanimate. I think that's a very interesting angle around some sort of blue-black reanimator deck. Glimpse the Cosmos, that's the See the Truth, but kind of with the giant flashback version instead of draw three flashback. Valky Got a Lies, we have a lot to say about that card. Ascendant Spirit, which did make it on the poll, but kind of on lower down. That's the Snow Blue Delver Figure of Destiny. Bloodsky Berserker, this is a card that is Lurrus' bestie. 2 mana for 1/1 that when you double spell gets bigger and menacing. Turgrid, God of Fright, makes people, when they sack stuff, you get it. And then I also picked In Search of Greatness. I think that card is cool. And then I got to shout out my boy, Agar the Freezing Flame. When you overkill something, you get to draw a card. That's cool.
So you like Turgrid, God of Fright, huh?
Well, I'm not sure it's like the most powerful card, but I think it's certainly a fun card to try.
Do you like the lantern half or the creature half or both?
I like the creature half a little bit more. I think the creature half is really where you're trying to build your deck around.
Interesting. What about you, David?
The card I'm most excited to build around is Alrend. I just really like modal cards that let you do different stuff at different times of the game. I think much more than Valky, you'll actually play both halves at various points. I don't think Valky is going to see a lot of play in the quote-unquote way that Richard Garfield would have designed him to do, where you're playing your 2-drop early and then playing 5 lands and then playing your 7-drop on turn, you know, 8 or whatever. I do really like Magda. I love dragons. I like that Magda lets you get to, like, maybe play 2 or 3 sweet dragons in your deck, or maybe many, depending on some of the builds that we've been kicking around. I really like Glimpse of the Cosmos. Obviously, Damon and I have really experimented with a bunch of cool, like, See the Truth type of constructed builds in Pioneer, and I think Glimpse of the Cosmos is maybe an upgrade there in terms of not having to play weird cards to kind of turn it on.
Well, you have to play Giants, though. I mean, those are weird.
Sure. Cards. Well, I want to play 4 Bone Crusher anyway. I just think that card is very good in Pioneer, so then you just have to, you know, can you play 2 Mutavaults? Like, then you start to get into the negotiation phase with yourself about what you can live with. I am excited about the Fortell suite, although I think basically the card Teferi Time Raveler just makes it not playable at all in Pioneer, but I think it's going to be super awesome for Standard. And then I am excited for lists built around the Giant Ox and the Plow, etc. I don't know if it'll also be the Boat, but we're going to start with 4 Giant Ox and see what kind of list we can put together from there. Dorian? Anything's possible.
We'll be on high alert for those lists, David.
Yeah.
Colossal Plow had a lot of fans in our hype poll, I gotta say. And it's funny that you both put Glimpse the Cosmos in your most excited. When I was drawing up my sort of top 5, I started with Valky, Magda, and Burgi. I think those are the 3 that I think I'm most excited for and feel like they're going to have the biggest footprint on the tournament scene. But I put Invasion of the Giants in my top 5, and I don't know if that like counts. Should we just count that as the same card as Glimpse the Cosmos? Because it's part of the Giant package. Are you thinking like Glimpse the Cosmos, you're interested in that just on its own without the Giant density?
Yeah, I mean, I've sent you a bunch of lists already in Pioneer, and none of them have Invasion of the Giants in them. I'm not interested in that card at all. I think it's probably better in Modern, honestly, because it does let you cast Primeval Titan. But in terms of it being a worse version of a Primeval Titan deck, it probably just doesn't get there. But I don't think you can play a slow Preordain in that way and get any value out of it.
Yeah, I think for me, Glimpse of the Cosmos makes the top 60 cards of the deck, at least to try, and Invasion of the Giants makes the top 600 cards of the deck, but not the top 60.
Oh, come on. All right, well, I'll tell you, we can do like a Giant week, and I'll secretly be making my Invasion of the Giants lists while you're playing Glimpse of the Cosmos.
Well, it'll really be a Glimpse of the Cosmos list, but you'll like go off script and like, well, I have Glimpse of the Cosmos in my Invasion of the Giants deck.
I guess I was thinking more Modern, but I'm legitimately excited for what this card can do. Could be Inferno Titan, could be Primetime, could even be Quakebringer, who really knows? And to round up my top five, I went with Righteous Valkyrie, kind of like the straightforward card, right? This is the Angel for 3 mana, that's 2/4, becomes a 4/6. It gives your entire team +2/+2 if you're 7 life higher than your starting life total. And the one sense is kind of like brewing downhill, like you just like find a bunch of cards that care about that and put them together. But on the other hand, it's like really powerful, and I think it's nice to start off with some powerful cards, get our wins in early in the season so that we can incinerate those tickets as the season wears on.
It's also nice that it's a white card. It's not, you know, a white, green, red card or anything. It's just a normal white card. It goes in what white wants to do, and it's actually quite powerful with one of white's primary mechanisms.
Yeah, and we have a lot of experience losing matches with white life gain decks.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's kind of the lay of the land in terms of like how we feel coming out of the preview weeks, how our communities feeling with their brewing energies. Now that we've seen it all, taking the temperature, if you will, of the set, any bold predictions, any called shots? What do you guys think? What are we going to see from Kaldheim?
All right, here's my five. One, I think snow is not going to make much of a dent in these older formats. I think casting multicolor spells on time is just a better payoff than snow. The way that like fire design works, they're like, oh, if this has 3 different mana colors and the cost, we can just give it insane amounts of power at a lower mana cost because it's quote unquote hard to do. But with tri-lands, etc., that's quite easy to do. So snow's mana requirements are actually like much harder than Uro or anything else, and the payoffs aren't quite there. I do think that the like 2019-2020 cloud is going to make this set seem underpowered. I don't think these cards are as powerful as a lot of what we saw in 2019 and 2020. I think that's totally fine. I think it's actually quite healthy for sets like this to just be super cool, have a bunch of cool cards. They don't have to immediately break any formats in two. Nothing needs to get banned in the first week. There aren't obviously broken interactions in Modern and Pioneer. That's totally normal. I hope we get back to that. And if we don't see a lot of these cards at like the top eights in a bunch of tournaments, that's totally cool. Three, I think Doomscar is going to be like maybe the best sweeper printed in a lot of these formats. I think it's going to be really bad for play patterns in Standard. I think it's going to frustrate a lot of people that just want to play creatures and attack. I do think that some idiot is going to 5-0 with a bunch of Tybalt's treachery lists in the first couple weeks. There's going to be multiple 5-0 lists. I know, Dan, you talked about this too. There's going to be a million screenshots of people that just missed out on it, and they, you know, turn one people that were actually trying to play Magic a bunch of times, and they're going to like somehow think that they're really clever. And I do think that there's
I mean, that idiot is me. You're describing me.
Yeah, my
I will be deleting those screenshots and blocking you when you try to send them to me. And I think that Tundra Fumarole is going to be awesome in some build I haven't thought of yet. It's just a free spell. I don't know exactly how it's going to be used. I don't know what shell it's going to go into. But the history of free spells is that someone much more clever than me finds a way to break them. So I don't know what format. Maybe it'll just be in Standard, but the card just seems really, really powerful. And so somehow it's going to see play.
Well, how does that interact with your prediction that snow is a big ask? So you're saying this is going to be like a mono-colored snow red deck?
Yep. There's going to be some kind of mono-red or mono-red and colorless, you know, Eldrazi thing, or I don't know. Someone smarter than me is going to figure it out, and they're going to really enjoy the few leagues they play before everyone else jumps on the bandwagon.
I believe that.
But I don't have a list to propose. I can't figure out how to use the card, but somebody will.
I mean, Snow Week, I feel like if it hasn't been solved by the time I get to Snow Week, we'll definitely have to take a crack at it because that card seems too sweet to pass up. Tybalt's Trickery, what can I say about that? I mean, I have a Tybalt's Trickery list that I will be testing this week, so I don't know. I know you wrote this last week. Here's the prediction last week. But I feel both seen and hurt a little bit. I don't know, David.
Well, that's what the call shots are for, I guess.
Exactly. Damon, what about you?
Yeah, so I think the one that I have the most conviction with is that Usher of the Fallen is the best aggressive white one drop of all time. This is the 1 white for a 2/1 that has boast, 1 and a white make a 1/1. And that's just really what aggressive white decks really want to be doing is not have to overextend by playing too many cards, have reliable creatures if the first one dies so you can equip your stuff, flip your Legion's Landing, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, aggressive white decks don't see too much play in Modern or Pioneer. But in Canlander, they're good.
Can I ask you what, in your estimation, is the second best aggro white one drop of all time?
Probably Kithian. It's kind of just a similar thing, but in a very different way.
I see. Okay, so the competition here is not super fierce.
Yeah, I mean, what do you expect out of your one drop besides having two power? It's hard to ask for too much more. And Usher actually delivers. It delivers a lot more. Next up, Golden Dragon, I think, is overrated. I think this card is not very good. And I mean, also good play in standard, but I don't think that it just fits into the right role for these Pioneer and Modern formats. I agree with the Doomscar rating from David. I think his card is highly rated, but correctly rated. I wish I had a better called shot on Cosima, God of the Voyage, but man, that card is super strange.
Cosima, God of the Voyage was the number one card for standard, according to Jerry and Brian at Arena Decklists. Really interesting card, for sure. I mean, I don't even know like if it's underrated at this point, because a lot of people are like intrigued by what it can offer, but no one has proposed a decklist yet that like makes any sense. So I guess I agree. It's just a weird card.
Yeah. And it just like you're kind of, every time you draw cards, you essentially lose a card draw because you have to spend another land trap to put it back into exile. So maybe like won't actually work out being very good, but it's just hard to say. Next up, I think Giants Tribal is not good even in standard. I think that your card Invasion of Giants is one of the key role players to make it good, and that card is bad. So maybe just kind of, we were playing Bone Crusher Giant anyway, so Glimpse of the Cosmos is fine. You know, that could be fine, but Giants Tribal, I don't know about that. Magda is going to be let down by lack of other dwarfs. That's just sort of sad, but there's more sets to come in Magic. We'll see. And lastly, I think counter to David's prediction, I think a card Narfi, Betrayer King, is better than it looks. Comes back for 3 snow tapped and is a 4/3. And the thing is that you can play Fabled Passage in Pioneer, and that does get you your snow lands. And so maybe that's enough that you could afford to, for example, play Narfi in like a mainly blue deck that somehow just like wants to have like a resilient beater.
So I have a list with Narfi in it that uses its body to cast those Eldrazi that ask you to sack a creature. Specifically the 5/6 guy, this reduces to blue-blue. So that's a cool effect. And they both bring back the 2/2 Phoenix that just needs a creature with power 4 or greater in play.
Interesting. So a Snow Emerge deck.
Yes. Emerge from the Blizzard. Stronger than before.
Minnesota in April.
Yes, exactly. Shovel yourself out.
Well, in the spirit of calling out with my called shots, I'm going to counter you, Damon, and predict that Giants, and specifically Invasion of the Giants, is going to 5-0 in Modern, and that between Invasion of the Giants and Glimpse of Cosmos, the Giants tribe is going to be like the next big tribe to keep our eye on. It will gradually accumulate cards that just make it a force to be reckoned with. But I think it's like already almost there in Modern. I will also take the under on Doomscar. I don't know, this is more of a thing for standard, but thinking about it more, like the fact that you have to exactly have it on turn 2, and if you don't, it's just like super clunky between turns 3, 4, and 5, makes it a lot worse than I initially thought when we were just like assessing the 2/3 play pattern. So I think people are going to be a little disappointed with it once they figure that out. Still like an important card. And finally, I guess, maybe countering David's prediction about this set being a little more tame, I think we're going to see like north of 30 cards, possibly even 40 cards from this set that show up in the League 5-0s, including stuff like Colossal Plow, including stuff like the blue source of Plowshares, Bind the Monster, like a one mana enchantment that taps a creature down. Even little tools like that, they won't be like format staples, but these are all cards that can be useful tools. If I had to guess, like maybe only 3 cards from the set will like really spawn new decks. That would be Magda, Burgi, and Velki. Tibble Trickery. I should add that in there. I think that's kind of the same deck with Velki. But in terms of just like the long tail, like I said, I think we're going to see a ton of cards at least clear the 5-0 bar at least once in their lifetime in Modern and Pioneer.
Well, the real test is not the 5-0 list in the next 2 weeks, but the 5-0 list 2 months from now.
Is that the real test, Damon?
Any idiot can 5-0 with Slither Wisp just by getting lucky.
Well, then 2 months from now, I shall 5-0 with the Invasion of the Giants just for you. That's my called shot in 2 months.
Hopefully they print some more Giants between now and then.
Still waiting on the Balls of Citadel, 5-0, Dan.
Even that, you say that to rib me a little bit. That card is dominant in Vintage. It was like a big thing in Pioneer, Historic, and Standard.
It's true. It's true, a format featuring a bunch of Lotus, Moxen, and Tinker.
My talents are wasted on Modern. I'm just going to put it that way. Accursed formats. The beautiful cards are not 5-0-ing in my hands.
But yeah, it's true. That card actually is pretty good in the various Pioneer shells and Historic.
All right. Well, I think we can leave it there for the call time previews. We have a ton of cards. Ton of work cut out for us. ton of sweet cars to dive into. And I can't wait to get started.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Very excited.
All right. We'll see you guys in the queues. Take care. Thanks for tuning in to this week's roundup. We have now reached the end of our Kaldheim preview season. So it's time to roll up the sleeves, start brewing, and hop into the queues. We are trying something different this week and releasing our brew session as a separate podcast episode. Actually, it's two separate episodes because in the spirit of MDFCs, we are kicking things off with a Kaldheim doubleheader. The first card up is Valky, God of Lies, with six new decks to cheat Tybalt into play. Then we shift our attention to a much fairer card, Ulrun, God of the Cosmos, to see if Haka the Raven can claw its way to victory. This means there are two more episodes this week, and both of them are already available for your listening pleasure. You can find them now in your podcast player or at faithistbrewing.com. Stay safe out there, and we will see you in the brew session.